A Kotra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Kotra AI. Welcome back. Today, we are opening up a file on a nation that is, well, maybe one of the most consistently misunderstood in global politics, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, we're going to be leaning really heavily on the monumental work of Ali M. Ansari, who's a premier historian on the subject.
And his work really forces us to ask a tough question, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
How do we look past the headlines and truly see this, I don't know, the civilizational depth here?
Yeah, that's exactly our mission today. I think for most people, their idea of Iran is it's just limited to a few things, right? Political standoffs, the nuclear program, maybe protests.
Right, the stuff you see on the news.
Exactly. But Ansari's work, it demands that we, you know, we shelve those simplistic, headline-driven stereotypes and instead grasp the nation's profound, almost maddening internal complexity.
And this isn't just an academic exercise, is it? Understanding Iran is, well, it's absolutely fundamental if you want to comprehend the entire sweep of the modern Middle East.
Oh, completely. From its economy to its regional power struggles, you need that massive historical foundation.
And Ansari is the perfect guide to give us that.
So let's properly introduce him. We're talking about Ali M. Ansari. He's the professor of Iranian history at the University of St. Andrews and the founding director of its Institute for Iranian Studies.
Mm.
When you talk about the foremost Western experts on Iranian history, I mean, he is right at the top of that list.
But what makes his perspective so powerful, I think, is that he's not just an outside observer.
No, not at all.
He has this crucial dual perspective. He was born to an Iranian diplomat father, but educated entirely in Britain. So he marries this, you know, Western academic rigor with a deep heritage-based cultural understanding.
And crucially, he's fluent in Persian.
Which is everything, right?
Yeah.
It means he can access the primary sources, but even more than that, he can access the cultural mindset.
Yes, that's the key. It lets him bridge this massive psychological gap between how Iranians see themselves, their own history, their own power, and how the Western world sees them, which is often just through the lens of the latest crisis.
And he does it with such scholarly objectivity. He avoids both, you know, the knee-jerk demonization, but also the unnecessary romanticization of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get into the engine room of his analysis, the central thesis.
Go for it.
Ansari basically argues that if you want to define Iran, you have to define it by constant inherent tension. It's a nation that just refuses to fit into any neat box.
Eternally caught between its ancient Persian past and the relentless pressures of modern geopolitics.
Exactly.
And he says this tension, it sort of manifests in three core contradictory currents that run through the entire society.
Okay.
The first is the tension between Iran's really powerful ancient national identity. They call it Iranshar, or the idea of Iran.
Literally.
And its contemporary religious character as a Shi'i Islamic state. They're often pulling in different directions.
Wait, hold on. Why do those two things conflict? I would have thought they'd reinforce each other.
Well, they can, but they often clash. The ancient Iranshar identity is pre-Islamic. It values things like monarchy, continuity, a specific ethnic heritage.
I see.
Whereas the Shi'i identity, especially its revolutionary form, is more universalist. It's focused on clerical legitimacy. So one is deeply national, the other is deeply theological.
And the state has to manage that blend constantly.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay, so what's the second contradiction?
It's the tension between a very authoritarian state apparatus, you know, the unelected power centers, and a highly resilient, really dynamic society.
Right. You've got this society that is young, super literate, tech savvy, always pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm. And it's facing off against this rigid, conservative political structure that's just trying to maintain control.
And the third one.
The third is that constant battle between the revolutionary anti-Western ideology, the founding rhetoric of the state, and the deeply pragmatic need to actually govern, to engage with the world, and just ensure regime survival.
That's where all the policy shifts happen, isn't it? In that gap between the fiery speeches and the cold, hard calculations.
Precisely. And we have to stress, Ansari doesn't start this story in 1979. To get these tensions, he takes us back millennia.
Right. From ancient Persia through these long a conquest, the Safavids making Shi'ism the state religion, all the way to today.
Let's delve into that a bit, because the weight of history is, it's really the first chapter of this story.
It feels like it. Ansari argues that Iran's sense of national continuity goes back over 2,500 years. And that's not just a trivia fact.
No, it creates a distinct national psychology. Euron sees itself as a continuous civilization, not as a young nation-state.
So they're thinking in centuries, not just, you know, four-year election cycles.
Exactly. And that legacy of the Persian Empire, it's not just in history books. It directly influences modern foreign policy. It fuels this conviction that Euron is the natural regional hegemon, a civilization whose status demands respect.
The cultural synthesis that happened after the Arab-Islamic conquest in the 7th century is just fascinating. You'd expect the old culture to be wiped out.
Mm-hmm. But Ansari shows how Persian culture essentially, quote, conquered its conquerors from within.
How so?
It injected Persian art, poetry, architecture, and crucially, its bureaucratic practices into the broader Islamic civilization. The Persian language survived and thrived.
So the religion changed, but the deep grammar of Iranian identity, as he calls it, persisted.
That's the perfect way to put it.
So if we fast forward a bit into the modern era, there's a moment that really echoes today, the Constitutional Revolution from 1906 to 1911.
A crucial and often overlooked moment. This was Iran's first major attempt to join the modern world politically.
Not just with technology.
No, with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It introduced the language of modern politics. Rule of law, a constitution, the mazlis, or parliament. This early demand for political participation set the stage for every future clash between absolute authority and the people.
But then we hit the great trauma, the moment that feels like it happened yesterday, the 1953 coup against Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh.
Ansari frames this as the definitive original sin in U.S.-Iran relations. And you have to remember, Mossadegh wasn't some radical. He was a popular, democratically elected, secular leader.
And his only crime was nationalizing Iran's oil industry.
That's it. So the fact that the CIA and MI6 backed his overthrow sent a very clear message.
And what was that message?
A brutal one. That the West only tolerates democracy in Iran as long as it aligns with Western economic interests. Ansari argues this single act just destroyed the possibility of a secular democratic path for Iran.
And it cemented this narrative of Western treachery that the current regime still uses constantly.
It's not just history, it's living politics. It fuels that deep mistrust and justifies their fierce commitment to sovereignty.
So after that, you get the Pahlavi era, the Shahs. They tried to modernize, but it was all top-down authoritarian.
Right, and highly dependent on oil money and foreign support. So it created this huge social disconnect. The Shah's rapid secularization angered the clergy, while his authoritarianism alienated the nationalists and the educated middle class.
So by 1979, the opposition was this huge, unhappy coalition.
Everyone. Liberals, communists, nationalists, Islamists. All of them just united in wanting to get rid of the Shah.
That's so key. It wasn't a purely religious revolution at the start.
No, but it was Ayatollah Khomeini who managed to unify them and, crucially, provide a theological framework for what came next.
Through this concept of Velayat-e Faqih.
The guardianship of the jurist. And this was truly innovative, even controversial within Shiism. It meant giving the senior cleric actual governmental authority.
So the clergy became the ultimate decision makers.
Exactly. And that concept dictates the whole contradictory structure of the Islamic Republic today. It's what Ansari calls a theocratic republic.
You have this strange mix of divine authority and the unelected supreme leader.
And popular sovereignty expressed through elections. It's a masterful piece of political engineering in a way.
Because you have the elected president and parliament, which give the regime a veneer of legitimacy.
Right, they channel the popular will. But their power is always subordinate to the unelected guardian council, which vets all the candidates and all the laws.
So the elections are like a pressure release valve.
Yeah.
But the real power is held by the unelected bodies.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the IRGC, the Revolutionary Guards. They started as an ideological guard dog, but they've evolved into this parallel state.
A state within a state with massive military and economic power.
They are the ultimate guarantors of the system. But what I find most remarkable is the tension between that rigid state and the society it governs.
Because the regime dramatically increased literacy, university enrollment.
Especially for women. So they created this highly educated, tech-savvy population that is often deeply at odds with the official ideology.
And that young population is always finding creative ways to push back, isn't it?
Constantly. Through social media, fashion, art, or huge protest movements like the Green Movement, their resilience is a core part of this whole story.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize all this. What are the core themes that Ansari really wants us to take away?
I think the first big one is what you could call the politics of historical memory.
This idea that in Iran, the past isn't just past, it's a political resource.
Exactly. That memory of foreign intervention, especially 1953, it directly fuels their modern commitment to sovereignty. When you see them making decisions about nuclear program, you have to understand it's wrapped up in national pride and defying foreign pressure.
It's the domestic justification for everything.
Okay.
Theme two. The contradictions of the system, we've talked about it a lot, that structural tension between theocracy and republicanism is what drives their volatile politics.
So when you read about hardliners versus reformists, it's not just two teams. They're fighting for direction within this very constrained, contradictory structure.
It's a constant, vibrant struggle. It is not monolithic. And the third theme, which I think often surprises people.
Pragmatism disguised as ideology.
Yeah, despite all the aggressive, uncompromising rhetoric you hear.
Ansari shows that their actual policies, especially in foreign affairs, are often driven by cold, shrewd, pragmatic calculations. It's about national interest and regime survival.
The best example of that has to be Khomeini's decision to accept the ceasefire in the Iran-Iraq war.
Oh, absolutely. He famously called it drinking a chalice of poison. It was a decision made purely for the survival of the state.
So when push comes to shove, ideology takes a backseat to the reality of governing.
That's it.
You know, there are a few phrases or ideas from Ansari's work that just, they really stick with you.
Mm-hmm. There are. Like this one. The Islamic Revolution was as much about Iranian independence as it was about Islamic governance.
That is so vital to understand. The nationalist desire to be free of foreign domination was just as powerful as the religious fervor.
For many, maybe even more powerful. It's why so many secular Iranians supported the anti-Shah movement. It was a patriotic movement.
Right. And then there's this one on the political system.
Iran's political system combines medieval theocracy with modern republicanism in ways that constantly surprise both supporters and opponents.
That explains why so many Western predictions about the regime's collapse have been wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a strange hybrid, and that tension gives it this bizarre resilience.
It does. And finally, my favorite, this beautiful metaphor for identity.
Let me guess. The grammar and the vocabulary one.
That's the one. Persian culture provides the deep grammar of Iranian identity, while Islam supplies much of its contemporary vocabulary.
It's just the most eloquent way to describe it. The culture is the ancient operating system, and the Islamic Republic is the language being spoken over it right now.
But the people are still defined by that ancient grammar.
So how do we apply all this? How does this help you listening right now as you consume the news?
I think the key thing is to stop viewing Iranian politics as a simple binary of good guys versus bad guys.
Yes. So when you read about an election, remember the structural constraints. High voter turnout, even for a pre-approved slate of candidates, can be a complex form of social negotiation with the regime.
It's never just about the final tally. And for diplomacy, Ansari's work suggests you have to respect their historical consciousness.
Because of that profound sensitivity to perceived slights.
Exactly. So negotiations framed in terms of mutual respect for sovereignty are going to be far more effective than just pressure and ultimatums.
And maybe the most important personal shift is to learn to separate the incredibly complex Iranian people from the rigid ideology of their government.
Yes. The highly educated youth, the resilient civil society, those are the most dynamic forces. Their internal struggle is what will ultimately determine the country's future.
So what was the one thing that really kind of surprised you the most going through this?
For me, it was the sheer weight of the 1953 coup. I knew it was important, but Ansari frames it as the defining trauma that provides the foundation for so much of the current anti-Western paranoia. It explains so much.
Yeah. My lasting insight is the strength of that Iranian nationalism, that idea of Iranshahr. It seems to transcend all the factional politics, reformist, hardliner, clerical. It's the one constant force.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that fierce demand for sovereignty, their strategic behavior starts to make a kind of logical sense, even if it's still deeply complex.
Mm.
The path forward for Iran will be determined internally.
Indeed. Effective engagement just requires intellectual honesty, cultural sensitivity, and a deep historical awareness.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.